Right. And how many folks in the room feel very comfortable with their knowledge of the Affordable Care Act? Feel pretty expert in it? All right. A little bit less than half, which is good. So we're going to talk today. We're going to give you a brief overview. I'm a practicing physician in the state of Texas. As mentioned, I'm an internist and a pediatrician by training, but I practice exclusively in the emergency department on a very limited basis because my full-time role is president for the South and Southwest region of Texas for the Affordable Care Act. Very large region of the state, essentially the size of New England. Lots of empty space in between and lots of folks that are uninsured, predominantly a Latino area of the state, where in San Antonio we're about 64% of the population. We start getting into 90% plus down on the U.S.-Mexico border. As a practicing physician, I see a lot of uninsured. And I'm going to talk to you about a patient that I had probably about 2 years ago. I've been with Blue Cross Blue Shield for about a year and a half, and I've been in Texas now for about 15 years, originally from California. 38-year-old woman comes into the emergency department. The chief complaint is a lump in breast. Not a lot of people come to the ER for a lump in the breast. So I'm thinking maybe she has a small abscess, maybe she has a benign tumor that she freaked out about. Walk in, see the woman. She's 38 years old, single mother of two small children. What I find is a golf ball-sized lesion in the left upper quadrant of the left breast with matted lymph nodes in the axilla that were non-tender with skin changes overlying the breast. That is a classic medical student diagnosis of breast cancer. Woman's been sitting on this lump for her in her breast for a year. She hasn't seen anyone who was afraid of coming in, and today was just the day that she decided to come in. Well, in the emergency department, of course, I saw her. We don't do mammograms in the emergency department. This was essentially a non-emergent condition. She wasn't going to get admitted to the hospital. Give her a referral to an oncologist, knowing full well that the woman's uninsured and she's probably not going to be able to see that oncologist. And of course, it's a Sunday afternoon and we don't have a social worker in the hospital at that time. Also refer her to the local county services. These are not unfamiliar patients to me. And so one of the reasons you might be wondering why an insurance company is talking to you about the Affordable Care Act and options for uninsured in Texas is the reason I came to Blue Cross Blue Shield is because in Texas we have 6.2 million uninsured, over 25% of the population. 60% of those folks that are uninsured are Latino. So huge disproportionate percentage of the uninsured in the state, where we're only about 38%. My hope is that through the Affordable Care Act and through my efforts in the state, I won't have any more patients like that. We're going to give you a brief overview, give you some very high-level highlights of the act itself. I'll give you a rundown of the Texas landscape. We'll show you some uninsured rates in the state, some enrollment statistics that we've had at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. Full disclosure, I work for the company. We're a mutual reserve company. We function as a not-for-profit. We don't have, we're not privately traded or privately held. So our fiduciary responsibilities to each and every one of our members. And our stated purpose is to stand with our members to the best of our ability in sickness and in health. And at the end of the talk, we'll talk about some of the options that we have currently in the state of Texas for the uninsured. You've heard a little bit about the safety net, and I'll mention some of that. Unfortunately, in Texas, our safety net has huge holes in it. And one of the biggest challenges is specialty referral, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Three major aspects of the Affordable Care Act: guaranteed coverage, the individual mandate, and financial assistance for those who may qualify for that. That's an important aspect of the law. I think most of the folks in this room may already know that. Who qualifies for federal assistance? Of course, you have to be a U.S. citizen or a legal resident, so we have a large percentage of undocumented folks in the state of Texas, 1.7 million roughly, who would not have access to insurance through the Affordable Care Act. There are premium tax credits or subsidies available for folks that are between 100% and 400% of poverty. Cost-sharing assistance, meaning that your out-of-pocket costs will be capped between 100% and 250% of poverty. A lot of folks may know that in the state of Texas, we did not expand Medicaid. In Texas, we call it Medicaid as opposed to Medi-Cal in California. And that left a big gap. State of Texas is the second largest state by population. California, of course, is the largest state by population. Texas is the largest geographic state in the 48 contiguous states. So we have a very large territory with a lot of folks that are distributed through various metropolitan areas, but also we have the largest rural population in the United States. I already told you how many uninsured we had, and 2.6 million of those 6.2 that were uninsured are eligible for a subsidy. And in terms of the challenge of what occurred since we didn't have Medicaid expansion, we have a huge gap in the state. So roughly 1 million folks in the state of Texas fall into that gap that otherwise would have had insurance through a Medicaid expansion program. And that's 1 million folks who have to use the safety net in the state of Texas or go without care. In terms of the Latino population in the state, the total eligible Latino population, 7.9 million. Eligible uninsured Latinos in the state were 2.5 roughly. So that's about 30%, 31% folks in terms of who were Latino uninsured. And the Latino uninsured population in the state of Texas represents 25% of the population of the Latino population in the United States. In terms of the Latino eligible population, 30% were young adults. The uninsured Latino eligible population, 46% are young adults. So we have a large percentage of young folks in the state of Texas, that millennial population, without access to insurance. And I'd be very deliberate in saying access to insurance versus access to care, because we all understand that having insurance doesn't mean that you have access to care. Access to care is having physicians and hospitals and services available in your community. The marketplace statistics as of April, and this number of course has changed, is over 8 million people nationwide selected a plan through the health insurance marketplace. What's interesting is half of those folks selected a plan in the last month. Now, a lot of you folks probably are, this is a sophisticated crowd, you're not surprised by that. Americans tend to be procrastinators, but we also have real experience through the Massachusetts rollout of insurance, where about half of folks in Massachusetts selected their plan in the last month of their enrollment season. So open enrollment occurred for this season on Saturday. So we're going to start seeing folks enrolling, but we're really going to have a push between January 15th and February 15th, because that's, I would expect, the bulk of the folks that are going to either re-enroll or enroll for the first time will do that during that time. The challenge is that in this enrollment season, I can't remember if it was a study by Pew or Kaiser Family Foundation, but there was a recent study where roughly 90% of folks had no idea that enrollment was November 15th. So there are big challenges in terms of getting the information out to the population. So what occurred in Texas? Again, this number is through April. The number has gone up. But as of April the 19th, we had 733,000 folks that selected a marketplace plan in Texas. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, we're a mutual reserve company that functions as a not-for-profit. We see ourselves as a public health company. With over 5 million members, you have to be a public health company when you're that size and you're covering the entire state, because you can't do business as usual. It can't be just processing claims and doing basic care management. We really have to move the dial on public health in our communities. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm here today. We have 75% of this market share because we're the only insurance company that's in all 254 counties in the state of Texas. Some of our competitors pick and choose the markets they want to be in because it's financially advantageous to be in those markets. We made a decision that we were going to be in each and every market regardless if it was financially advantageous to us or not, because of our commitment to the state of Texas. So in some areas of the state, we're the only insurance company that will be available on the Affordable Care Act. Now, we also tend to be the lowest price plan. So we have, in the last enrollment season, we were the lowest price bronze plan, and we were the lowest price silver plan in 20 markets. And where we weren't the lowest price silver plan, we were the second lowest silver plan. In Texas, 84% of folks who selected a plan did so with financial assistance. So people are in need of the financial assistance. What's interesting with this statistic as well is that when we look at folks paying their premium, people who have financial assistance pay their premiums better than folks who do not have financial assistance, which typically the average is for the general population, about 85%. We're seeing higher percentages in folks that are receiving a subsidy. These are preventative services that have occurred through folks that enrolled in a plan at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. And the reason I'm shuffling through my papers is this weekend I got new numbers. So WellCare visits, we actually are up to 330,000 WellCare visits for folks on an ACA plan. Mammograms, the number increased significantly. We're at 40,000 now. Biometric screenings of folks that receive lab tests associated with their WellCare visits, we're at 160,000. And then babies delivered, we're up to 3,500 as of through the end of last month. So I just received these numbers this weekend. These are real folks receiving real care across the entire state. So what's the safety net look like in Texas? Currently, the safety net, of course, are going to be not-for-profit hospitals. We have plenty of those in the state, but are not in all areas. Hospital districts, and if you're not familiar with hospital districts, these are a combination of public hospitals as well as clinics associated with those hospitals that tend to cover an entire county. And the hospitals district vary from not every county has a hospital district, and the programs offered vary. So for instance, in Harris County, there's a gold card program, which is somewhat like an insurance plan. And you have the gold card and you can receive care at the hospitals or at the community clinics associated with those hospital districts. In Bexar County in San Antonio, we have the CareLink program. So CareLink program is not an insurance plan. It really is a payment plan where you're getting services at a lower cost, and then you can pay that over a period of time. So variety of different services in two different cities in the state of Texas. Of course, community clinics, and we've heard about those already, and migrant health clinics are also part of it. The challenge that we have in Texas is the specialty care associated with community clinics. And so while primary care is terrific, and oftentimes you have embedded psychiatric services or dental services, OB-GYN services, it may be somewhat difficult beyond those services in areas where we're already limited in terms of the number of doctors and specialists that we have. Healthcare for the homeless grantees and the variety of community clinics also have homeless clinics, public housing clinics that we have across the state, HIV clinics, health center controlled networks, similar to some that the not-for-profit hospitals have, and then the rural health clinics. Not-for-profit hospitals by law in Texas have to take care of a certain percentage of charity care services. And so the challenges is that these folks were already stretched prior to the Affordable Care Act. So the Affordable Care Act benefits and hurts them in a couple of different ways. And I think I'm going in the wrong direction. Let me see. So how does it impact them? In a positive way, there's new funding sources. So we're seeing a lot of safety net providers getting into the Affordable Care Act business, either through applying through navigator services, where they are now having federal navigators on site enrolling folks into a plan. They're actively seeking out ACO options with either payers or hospitals to really create a network, so to the point that they're not the last resort choice, but something that consumers and members and patients are choosing as their primary choice. They're getting some support for coordinated and patient-centered care. There is some expansion of the primary care workforce in Texas, but it's limited because we don't have enough residency slots for our medical students that are graduating. And then there's declining payments to some safety net hospitals as well. Why? Because we're supposed to have expanded the population of insured folks, and so in proportion to that, you're also going to decrease the excessive reimbursement that you may be giving to some hospitals. And some of these folks already had existing financial hardships. Not every county in the state is the same. Not every county has the same resources. The way we fund our hospital districts in the state of Texas tends to be based on property taxes. So if you're a county with a low property tax rate, your hospital district's going to get less money. There are also various shifts in the healthcare marketplace occurring in terms of other resources, retail clinics, and things that folks are using. And then the new insured patients are also creating a strain in terms of folks that are now going to access these services as their provider of first choice. So we already had a limited number of providers across the state and your safety net providers. Now they're getting new patients as well when they're already almost capped out. But a lot of folks are trying to expand. So there's challenges right now in the state. The ACA five-year trust, I believe this is a typo, it says 2015, it should be 2016. Is set to expire, and we're looking to see that there will be an extension of that from 2016 to 2020. What are some solutions that we see in the state of Texas for our uninsured? The 1115 transformation waiver. This has been something that has been a resource for our safety net providers. Of course, it's allowed us to expand Medicaid managed care statewide, but also has increased some reimbursement to some of our safety net providers for taking care of Medicaid and uninsured patients. We're also looking, the Texas Hospital Association is looking for a quote, Texas Way solution in order to get coverage expansion and looking at examples that we've had in other states such as Arkansas as a potential model for the state of Texas. Now, expansion of Medicaid itself, as determined through the Affordable Care Act, is very unlikely in the state of Texas. It's just not going to be politically viable. So that's an option, but I don't think that option is going to be on the table. Increasing funding to our safety nets, either through a variety of our general fund revenues in the state of Texas, that is something that's being discussed. And looking at other unique Texas solutions. And Texas is a very independent-minded state. After having been in Texas now for 15 years, I'm not quite a Texan yet based on particular parameters in the state, but I'm getting there. I think I have five more years. We like to bring up our own solutions, and so I think there is lots of heads coming together to see how we can still get access to some of those Medicaid funds. A lot of folks would like to see a block grant. That's not going to be realistic with the Obama administration. Texas will not receive a block grant. They will not receive a cartoon-sized bag of cash on the state capitol. We will continue to look at this because the business community in the state of Texas has really been heavily lobbying to find a solution that makes sense, political sense, but also gets access to those dollars that folks in the state of Texas are concerned about going to other states and not coming back to the state. So what are we as an insurance company doing with regards to the uninsured? So Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas has a campaign that we fund. It's called Be Covered Texas. Be Covered Texas is our public service campaign, and you can see by the logo, the Be Covered logo and the colorings associated with it, it doesn't mirror your traditional Blue Cross Blue Shield logo or colorings. And the reason we do this is truly as a public service campaign. We don't generate leads through this campaign. We don't sell insurance through this campaign. It is strictly to educate folks about the Affordable Care Act. There was a vacuum of information out there. We started this prior to the first open enrollment season. And what we decided was we're not going to do this branded. There's going to be a wall in between us and this campaign. We're going to do this through a grassroots effort. We're going to partner with folks at the local level that are working with the uninsured already or that have existing networks in the uninsured space. So we have over 160 partners as part of this effort. We use a lot of community-based organizations. We use housing authorities. Our information has to be in English, but it also has to be in Spanish, which is one of our realities in the state. And also, we have to have some resources on the ground. So some of the things that we're doing are these large care fair events. We did one last year in Dallas. We had 10,000 folks come out to the care fair. It was a beet-covered care fair. We were giving immunizations, handing out groceries, and there were navigators signing up folks to insurance. They might have been signing them to Blue Cross, or they may have been signing them up to someone else, which was perfectly fine with us. We feel it's important for folks to get signed up regardless of where they go. We have our fair share of the market, and we're happy that folks have trusted us with that. This is a list of some of our partners. The housing authorities, with San Antonio Housing Authority here, has been a great partner for us. And housing authorities really do align with the vision that we have in terms of getting folks insured. And I spoke to the National Association of Large Housing Authorities last year, and no one had thought of working either with an insurance company or working to mesh with the Affordable Care Act. But housing authorities have as their charter to maintain financial health for their residents. And so I like to think of, I don't like to think of it, it's true. Health insurance has to be part of your financial plan. So if you're a 22-year-old woman in public housing, and you have a couple of kids, you show up to the emergency department with abdominal pain and you're uninsured, what do you pay? You pay the rack rate, right? That rate that is on, imagine you're in a hotel room, the rate on behind your door says you're paying $1,000 a night for that hotel room when you got it for $100 or $90 on Priceline. And so that's the rate that the uninsured are paying. And so she comes out with a bill for $5,000 on the low end. It might as well be $5 million. She can't pay it. So her credit's ruined. She's stuck in public housing. How are they going to get her out of that? The number one cause of bankruptcy in the state of Texas prior to the Affordable Care Act was because of medical bills. So this was a natural partner for us to work. They have a resident population on site, many of who are going to have benefit from the Affordable Care Act, and this is how we've really reached out to folks through the Be Covered campaign. Now, it says healthcare literacy. This isn't really healthcare literacy. This is health insurance literacy. There's a big difference because people still don't understand what hemoglobin A1C is or how to better control their diabetes. We did see a lot of issues with health insurance literacy, and the general population has issues with health insurance literacy. Who knows the difference between co-insurance and a copay and deductible and your premiums and all that? It gets complicated with the most sophisticated of us. And so imagine you're a 50-year-old person who's never had private insurance, and we see a lot of those folks. So now you have to understand, how do I use my insurance? So the Be Covered campaign, after open enrollment closed, became a what to do now that I have insurance. So telling folks about you have a network, and it may be a narrow network or a highly efficient network, but understanding that they need to check to see which doctor or hospital is in their network. And in order to not get balanced billed, because then folks are getting these huge bills because they go to a hospital that's not a network for a non-emergent ER situation. Behavior impacts their health, get their prescription drugs, and when to go to the emergency department, what is true emergent care, and how to call their insurance company and find out more. You know, I talked about health insurance being part of your financial plan. It's not only part of your financial plan personally. Our communities have to see an insured population as part of the health for their community, because employers look at the demographics when they decide if they're going to come to your community to set up a shop. Toyota looked at San Antonio when they came to start their Toyota plant, and they almost didn't come because they saw our percentage of obese folks. They saw that they could look at creatinines or microalbumins and tell who was going to be in end-stage renal disease X number of years from now and what their insurance costs were going to be, their healthcare costs. And so the financial health of our communities and going from our individual community to our cities, to our counties, to our state, and to our nation really has to be, health insurance has to be part of that. And health insurance is not access to care. However, you can't get care in this country if you don't have the ability to pay for it. So that's what we're doing at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas. I'm happy to entertain any questions. Yes?
Sorry, two questions.
Yes, ma'am. So the 1115 waiver is one aspect, right? And so that's a separate. There are some discussions in Austin in terms of how to continue to fund hospitals if the state is not going to expand Medicaid. I'll leave it to the politicians to decide how they're going to do that, if they're going to do that. There isn't a huge appetite in the state of Texas to be able to do that. We do have a huge surplus right now in terms of our rainy day fund, and using the rainy day fund to be able to help supplement hospital payments, increasing Medicaid payments to hospitals. That's more of a political discussion, but there are options in the state of Texas depending on what political path people take.
Mm-hmm. That we're negotiating right now. And you said part of yours was increased reimbursement for primary, or I don't know what's primary care, but increased reimbursement for providers.
For hospitals. So hospitals, not individual providers. Right now it's hospitals in terms of cost of care for Medicaid and cost of care for their uninsured that they're taking care of. Well, typically hospitals, you have an EMTALA, so your patients show up in the emergency department and they need to be admitted, they're going to get admitted to the hospitals. And so I don't have the studies in terms of the 1115 waiver, but there has been at least some evidence that it's been successful in the state of Texas and looking to get that extended, but I wouldn't pretend to be an expert on it. Any other questions? Thank you so much.